Amen. Thank you, Paul. Well, good morning, everyone. Good to see you all. Are you happy?
Yeah.
Good. Some of you need to let your face know. I love that song, you know, You Have Been Faithful. That last one that we did, it's one of my favourites at the moment. And it's funny really, Paul, because when I was driving in this morning, I was just recounting, looking back and just recounting and giving thanks for the faithfulness of God over the years, you know, because sometimes it's so easy just to take it for granted and almost, you know, the psalmist says, forget not all these benefits, but so often we forget the little things that have gone good for us in the midst of trying circumstances, because he's a good, good God. And I was just recalling an incident, giving thanks to God for it. Many years ago, I had a Vauxhall Viva. Do you remember those things? Eh? And it was getting into a pretty poor state. I was so glad that in those days the RAC didn't just let you have three call outs and then your premiums went up. And I remember driving back from a holiday in Cornwall with the kids, and they were all asleep, and suddenly there was an incredible noise in the car. And basically my exhaust was falling off, so I had to pull off near Bristol, get my exhaust replaced and everything. And 2.5 hours later we sat off again up the M5 and onto the M6, and Christine and the kids are all asleep in the car, like they do, you know, you get that, I call it the jaw drop with Christine. She's like, all right, that's the position for the rest of the journey. And I'm just playing a Bob Dylan cassette. You remember cassettes? I've got a cassette going in the car, and I'm driving along, and as clear as anything, I heard this voice say to me, get ready, you're going to have a blowout. So I turned the cassette off, I sat up straight, both hands, because I was just one-handed, you know how it is, fellas. Two hands on the wheel, and I'm in the outside lane overtaking some wagons, and next second there's this bang, and my front tyre goes, and I just held it steady, overtook, moved straight in, and nobody was hurt. It woke the wife up, like, but it takes something like that. But I was thinking back, you know, how many other things, that is one that I can recall, but how many other, you know, the hymn writer says, doesn't he, through many dangers, toils and snare, how many times has there been the faithfulness of God that has protected us from that what we haven't seen? He's faithful. But anyway, that's for free this morning. That isn't what I'm talking about. If you've got your Bible with you, I want you to look in Luke chapter 17 and from verse 11. And it says this: now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus travelled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. And when he saw them, he said, go, show yourself to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them came back, and when he saw he was healed, praising God in a loud voice, he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. And then over in Hebrews chapter 4, it says this, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. And then Philippians 4, verses 6 to 8. Therefore, have no anxiety about anything, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God that transcends all understanding will keep your hearts and minds safe in Christ Jesus. And God will bless his word to us. We've We've been doing a series of Bible studies at church on a theme called Shifting Atmospheres. And it comes out of the Bethel Stable. It's about spiritual warfare, but it's sort of a fresh look at it all. And we were looking at things that affect areas. You know, because sometimes you can go into an area, you can pick up a feel, can't you? You know, just like if you go into somebody's house and they've been having a barn, you pick up the atmosphere. And basically what Donna De Silva was saying was that, you know, recognise the atmospheres that are around you. And we know that in our area we've got an atmosphere of drugs, of hopelessness, of lack of worth. Pretty much like Salford, really. Yeah? Now, when we were praying about this, I thought, yeah, but what are these things, the drug culture, the hopelessness, the lack of self-worth, what is it feeding on? And in a flash, I just felt God drop a word in, and the word was ingratitude. That we live in a society of ingratitude, where there's a lack of gratitude for that what's around us. No thanksgiving, just takes things for granted, and it's rampant in society. If you're a driver, you see it on the road. You let somebody out, they don't even put their hand up to say thanks or flash the lights. It's just through. Irritates you, doesn't it? You've done something and nobody gives you thanks. We take a lot of things for granted in gratitude. I was looking up and I found that missed appointments in the NHS cost the NHS £1 billion a year. Why? Because it's an ingratitude to a service we've got. People just take it for, oh, I won't bother, I'm feeling a bit better, I won't go to the doctors, I won't go meet that appointment. And they forget the cost that is involved that's there, rather than having a gratitude for the NHS and for all what it does. But you've got a gratitude, haven't you, Les? Eh? You have as well, John, haven't you? Eh? Absolute. You know, I have as well. Gratitude that we have that service that's there. And often when I'm talking with younger ministers, I find that one of the biggest causes for discouragement in ministry is the lack of gratitude for ministry that is given. People just take things for granted. And I believe it's exactly the same with God. God hates ingratitude, but he loves and rewards gratitude. And I love that fact that when God sees the gratitude of our hearts towards the things that he has done, that he loves it and he actually rewards it, because it builds a platform for God to ask to bless us yet again. And Jesus' question on healing these 10 men with leprosy was, were not all 10 healed? And all 10 were healed. And I believe that one of the biggest causes that hinders Christian growth, restricts answers to prayer, and stops a fruitful Christian life is the lack of gratitude towards God for what he has done, and the lack of gratitude towards others. That simple please and thank you, expressing of gratitude. And again, just coming in this morning while I was chewing this theme over, I was just giving thanks in a random way for so many different things that God has done. My wife of 46 years, she needs a medal, right? You know, my grandkids, you know, just little things that sort of happen, and you just think, wow. I did where my son is pastoring the church down in Broughton Ashley in the Leicester area, and the village do a fete every year, and so he asked me to go down and I do a magic show, about three or four magic shows in the afternoon for the kids. And my little granddaughter Lydia, she's 3. She was sat there, and she was watching this and getting all excited with granddad doing his magic. And after it's finished, she was sat down on this blanket having a picnic lunch. And this other lady comes and sits with her. And so Lydia says, "My granddad's magic." And this lady says, "What's your granddad called?" She looks at this woman. She says, "My granddad's called Granddad." I just love it. I just say, God, thank you for the little ones, and just for the way that they run and throw themselves in the air at you. Gratitude. Let's build it, giving thanks to God. Thankfulness, the gratitude of the heart, is a learned response. You know, so often it's not a natural response, but it's a learned response. And you see, the Bible is full of gratitude towards God and towards others. Give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Psalm 105. The Psalms are just full of it. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Psalm 106 and 107. And then it drips with phrases like, praise the Lord, O my soul. All my innermost being, praise His holy name. I give thanks to the Lord because He's not treated me as my sin deserves. That's a biggie, you know, to give thanks to God. Aren't you glad you didn't die the day before you got saved? Well, that's four of you anyway. Right? That's a big thing to give thanks to God for. That I actually heard about the salvation of God and His goodness. Like we've been singing there. Because He's good all the time. And that should cause a gratitude within us. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my innermost being, praise His holy name. You see, praise erupts from thankfulness. When we give thanks, even for the little things that we take for granted. Giving thanks for the food on our plate, for the air that we breathe, for the houses that we live in, that we're not under threat like so many people are in different countries. The freedom that we have. Psalm 100. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. It's the gateway into the presence of God. And I love it, the Bible talks about, you know, from a thankful heart, a double portion comes, the more we give thanks to God. And I believe that we've got to learn it afresh. Giving thanks is a learned practice. Because so often we can have ingratitude in our hearts. We just take it for granted, rather than giving thanks to God. Giving thanks that you've got a mum who makes your bed, irons your clothes, and makes sure you're not going out with dirt behind your ears, or you're not getting those famous words that I used to get, go and wash your neck, it looks like the tide's coming in. Do you remember those days? Or the look in your ears, could grow carrots in there. Thanking God for those things. You see, in the Bible, thanks means to bless, to salute, and to praise God. It's a confession of His goodness towards you and me. It also carries a sense of celebrating the benefits that God has for you. And I love that, because we lose sight of so many benefits that we've got. We get all this, and then we get heaven on top. It's a pretty good deal, really, isn't it? That we didn't deserve, because it's based on what we've just celebrated, the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the fact was, you know, that He says, but I thank You, Father, I'm doing Your will. Look at the amount of times He thanks the Father. Father, I thank You that You've hidden these things from the wise and learned, but You've revealed these to these little ones. The thankfulness out of Jesus' own heart. You see, in the New Testament, six words are used for thankfulness and gratitude. It's thanks rendered to God. It gets a name in High Anglican and Catholic churches, the Eucharist, which is the celebration of gratitude, giving thanks to the Lord for what He's done. Thankfulness to God for His fellowship, for the gifts given. It's an expression of joy in the Holy Spirit. It's a fruit of the Spirit to acknowledge joyfully and celebrate in praise. And you know, and I really believe this, that the more we give thanks, the more you'll find it's the cure for the miseries. Cure for depression even. You know, sometimes we're quick to run for a pill rather than to run for praise. But the more we can focus upon the goodness of God and what He has done and His benefits towards us, it lifts your heart. That there's something supernatural about getting out of you. You know, Lord, I look to You. You're where my strength comes from. Draw strength. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. Been singing it this morning. The more we wait upon Him, there's a strength, even in the helplessness of circumstances. God does something as we give thanks for all His benefits around us. And it gives us confidence to face things. Because He's good to us all the time. But the alternative, a lack of thanksgiving, often results in not remembering and giving thanks for what God has done for you. And in Deuteronomy, it spells that out, that if you forget these things, difficulties will come upon you. Because you're almost like taking down the wall of protection that comes up with the attitude of praise. I love it as I've been reading again through the Old Testament, the amount of times that God says, send Judah first to praise the Lord as they're going into battle. Well, He's not sending the heavy artillery out there. He says, you know, send the praises out there. Why? Because praise shifts an atmosphere. It does something. One of the things that really struck me in this series that we've finished now is that when we start to praise God, it throws the ranks of the enemy into total confusion because they can't cope with it. Satan hates it because it was once his job. But when we start to praise, the enemy has to scatter. Because they can't stand the fact that people who have not beheld His glory would give Him praise for what He's done. And I don't know about you, but I've found so many times in my life, even in facing horrible situations, that when I've got into that quiet place and just began to praise the Lord, because You were good. God, You were bigger than these circumstances. You're greater than this situation. Lord, in the end, this will come to pass, and You will get glory and praise because You're good all the time. You know, it does something within you. You get back up with a new spring in your step, a new fight in your spirit, because it's bounced back. You've praised and you've focused upon the goodness of God. Psalm 103. You know, and forget not all His benefits. Right? The benefits of God. What? The main one. When we're going through trials and tribulations, I will never leave you or forsake you. Father, thank You that it's horrible at the moment, but thank You that You're here with me. I can give thanks to Him for that. Thank You that... Yeah, thank You, Lord. I have to learn this one. Thank You, Lord, that You have trusted me with a trial. Think about that for a minute. You see, God will never allow you to go through something that He doesn't trust you with. And you trust Him with it because He knows His strength will enable you to overcome. And the benefit in that is that in 1 Corinthians 10:13, is that God will never permit you to be tested more than what you can endure. And He'll always provide a way of escape. That's His goodness. I'm glad I learnt those verses as a brand new Christian 40 odd years ago. Because they've stayed with me all that time. God, if I'm going through the valley of the shadow, you've trusted me with it. But I'm not on my own because Your rod and Your staff are there. And it's only a shadow because the light of the world's with me. It gives you a fresh focus, folks, so that you can overcome. You're not going down, oh, it's so hard, it's so tough, I don't know what I'm going to do, it's miserable, everybody hates me. No, not everybody hates you. Because you have a Father who says, He's my beloved. I spent a lot on you. The death of my Son, the Lord Jesus. I'm for you. I love it when God says that, for I am for you, not against you. I'm not only with you, I'm in you. I rejoice in that. The God of creation lives inside of Paul Morley. Lives inside of you. Wow, what a privilege. I thank You, Lord, for depositing Your Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul writes, be joyful always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances. Why does he say that? He says, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. People say to me, what's God's will for my life? Be joyful always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances. That's God's will. It's a cracker, isn't it? You want to know what God's will is for your life? Be joyful always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for your life in Christ Jesus. You see, Jesus was always giving thanks. And so was Paul and the other apostles. I love it, that passage in Acts chapter 5, where the disciples have been arrested and beaten by the religious leaders, and they come back for a prayer meeting. And they say, "We thank you, Lord. We've been considered worthy to suffer for the name." Wow. What a cry of praise. Been considered worthy to suffer for the name of Jesus. Wow. Hebrews 4 and verse 14 that I read earlier. Why be thankful? Well, it tells us there that we can approach the throne of grace where we can obtain mercy. And I love that, because it gives us this, if you just unpack it, you see, justice is the punishment you get for the crime committed. And the Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So if God exercises his justice towards you, you're going to get what you deserve. That's how the world lives. They're going to get what they deserve. Yet you get what you don't deserve. If we got what we deserved, we'd have hell for an eternity. And God knows you and me inside out, our thoughts, imaginations, all the mess of it. Bob Dylan wrote in one of his songs, he says, "If my thought dreams could be seen, they'd probably put my head in a guillotine." He was aware of his own thoughts. And that's why the Bible says, take every thought captive and submit it to God. But God hasn't treated us as our sin deserves. That's why he sent Jesus, to take our place, to do that what we could never do, to fulfill the law of God, what we could never fulfill. And I'm grateful for that. You know, I don't think I wake up a morning without giving thanks to God that I'm eternally saved, that I'm a child of the living God. I've been bought with a price. I'm not my own. His blood avails for me. And I've still got an advocate with the Father. So when I come before the throne of grace, it's the throne of grace, not the throne of justice. I'm not going to get what I deserve. Justice has to be done. That's why Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. But grace is God's favour towards you and me. It's God's loving kindness and favour towards you and me that causes thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord. You know, you ever read, when you read Psalm 51, I'm sure you've read it, but the cry of David there when he knew what he'd done and how it had affected and hurt God, and his cry was, "Take not your Holy Spirit from me." You know, that whole thing, he throws himself, what, on the mercy of God. "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." He throws himself on this mercy, knowing that God is for him. Grace is getting what I don't deserve, that what I can't earn. It's a gift that God gives to each and every one of us. But also, you see, in that the writer says, where we may obtain mercy. God, Ephesians 2 says, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of our pitiful state, he has the resource to provide us with salvation. God has all the adequate resources to meet your every need. And we need to ask God for mercy. When did you last ask God for mercy upon you? You see, it's a funny thing, but I pray it quite regular. God, have mercy upon me because of my thoughts, my wrong actions, my deeds, things that you do almost without even noticing. God, have mercy upon me. Don't treat me as my sin would deserve. Coming before the throne of grace where we may obtain mercy. Mercy for ungratefulness for the things that God has done. Mercy for not offering a praise that we've got a fantastic thing like this and no overhead projector. Hallelujah. That building work in this place has transformed it. Giving thanks to God rather than just coming in and saying, oh, doesn't it look nice? But actually they're saying, thank you God for your provision. Thank you God for fellowship in this place. Thank you God. I loved it when it was the anniversary. Was it last year, the year before? Time flies, isn't it? 2 years ago, wasn't it? Was it three? 3 years ago. But just hearing some of the testimonies of the people that established Mount Chapel and the way it came, just think, thank you God for faithful witnesses that have come down the centuries to keep a light burning here. And you know what, folks? It ain't over yet. The best is yet to come. Because I believe that God is going to start to work in areas like this, in Salford and in Gainsborough, where there's desperation and need, that God's going to do something. I don't know what, but I thank him for it every day. God, I don't know what you're doing, but you're doing something. That you're going to cause the hearts of people to turn to say, there must be something more, because I truly believe and I give thanks to God that your gospel, O Lord, is still the hope for the nation. Without him, we're doomed. But I believe that there's opportunity that God's going to open up in the days ahead. Let me go back to Psalm 51. David cries out, have mercy upon me, O God, according to what? Your unfailing love. Where law couldn't provide a way of escape, God's unfailing love does. When you seem completely helpless and hopeless, throw yourself on his mercy. Have mercy upon me in this situation, Lord. Have mercy. And then just see. And as you begin to give thanks, just see what he'll do. And I love that end phrase that it uses there. It gives us grace to help in times of need. One of the things that the Lord dropped into me was that just as a well taps into an unseen source of water, so an expression of gratitude of the heart taps into unseen resources that you need. Think about that. Let me say it again. Just as a well taps into an unseen source of water, so the expression of gratitude towards me taps into my unseen resources for you. Give thanks. Even in the midst of bad things, I don't give thanks for bad things, but I give thanks to God that bad things can help me to see the hand of God in circumstances. And I believe that even as we give thanks to God when something is unseen, we start to declare it. Thank you, Lord, for that provision. Thank you, Lord, that you are still the God of healing. Thank you, God, that you're still the God of provision and you're going to provide. That as you start to express gratitude for all those things that are contained in the names of God, I believe that God begins to respond to our hearts. And the eye has not seen, nor the ear heard, that what God can yet do. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks this day for your goodness, for your love, and for your mercy. Thank you that your word says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There was nothing lovely about us, Lord. There was nothing in us to make you want to approach us. But we thank you for your goodness, your love, your grace, your mercy that found us, transformed us, and gave us a hope and a future. And I pray this morning, Lord, that for any who are downcast, that the gratitude attitude would cause their spirits to lift again, to see the priceless work that you have done for each and every life. And for that, Lord, we give you our thanks and praise. And we thank you in advance, Lord, for that, what you were going to do in the Salford area. Thank you for those that don't yet know you, but are going to have an awakening. We thank you for an awakening, Lord, that's going to come and turn the hearts of men and women towards you, that they will discover. We give you thanks for that, Lord, that they will discover what a good, good God you really are. And for that, we give you our thanks and praise in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Thanks, Paul.